We have Steve calling in with his irrigation lines in Surprise this morning, 602-277-5827, 277-KTAR. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, guys. How you doing? What I have in my flower beds is I have all these multiple drip system lines. And, of course, my wife's lawn service guys, of course, they always seem to get buried. And it always seems to get on my honeydew list to go out and dig up the drip lines.
Okay.
So what I'm looking to do, in the past, whenever I did sprinklers and I wanted to do flower beds, with the 3/4 inch hard line of PVC, I stuffed up the bubblers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the lines that are used now are the 3/4 inch black flexible line, and they have all the little drip lines. Are you able, or is there an animal out there that I can convert, pull the drip lines out, and stub up a bubbler type so it's more visible to lawn service guys and my wife, so I can kind of eliminate some things off my honeydew list?
Well, one thing you can do is you can put in spray heads on the 1/4 inch lines and have them actually on a riser or a stake staked up to where they're sitting up a foot or two in the air and spraying out over these. I assume these are flowers. These are annuals.
Yeah, these are flower beds, okay. Beds for your
seasonal flowers.
Vinca's marigolds, okay. Or some of our winter flowers, but it's not, I don't believe it's a 1/4 inch line. It looks like it's,
well, your main line.
It looks like it's a larger, I'm going to say at least,
okay,
half inch to 3/4 inch.
Flat. I understand. You've got a 5/8 inch main line.
Yep.
But off of that, you've got to be watering with something. Generally, they run 1/4 inch lines off of the 5/8 inch line to provide the water to the plants.
Got it. I'm with you now.
So you can do either 1/4 inch line to a spray nozzle on a stake and place those strategically and correctly so that you get coverage over the bed, and those are very visible. The other thing most of the commercial guys do now is they run lines of soaker tubing, which is 1/4 inch tubing that's been perforated every 12 inches or so, and they run lines of those. They plant their annuals. Those just ooze and get the whole bed wet. Then when it's time to replant, they just kind of pull them out of the way, replant, and then lay them between the rows of the annuals again, kind of stake it down with a piece of wire, a U-shaped piece of wire, holding it down in certain places. And that works very well.
And most of that soaker hose on top, the spaghetti, it's like spaghetti size.
Right, it's 1/4 inch spaghetti
and,
tubing.
And it can just sit right on top.
Absolutely. You just leave it on top. The flowers grow up, and then you don't see it because the flowers have kind of grown around it.
You want to get in there in between seasons and trade out. You just pick them out of your way, get in there and rip and snort and do whatever you got to do.
Right. So either way works pretty well.
Now, is there an advantage any time of the year to get the spray head sprinkling? I always think, hey, the plant probably likes its water the way nature delivers it, from the sky. But I'm being told that in a lot of cases that's harmful on the plant, and really the soaker hose is a much better way to water a lot of the plants.
Well, I don't know that the spray is harmful, although it's sometimes if you run it when it's hot,
yeah,
and sunny, you can damage your flowers. You know, they'll get scalded. It's more efficient to apply the water directly to the soil and to the roots, so you don't get evaporative loss, that sort of thing. So there are pluses and minuses to both.
I like the feel of a fresh sprayed down garden.
Yeah, and the look of it being a little wet in the morning.
I like that.
Make sure you run it early in the morning so you don't run it during when the sun is on the plant or there's wind blowing that around.
Okay.
Steve's in Phoenix, Mark's in Fountain Hills, Joe's in Sun City, but we're going to go out to Buckeye because Susie has a fig tree that is stressed, and that's one thing we cannot have.
Oh, no.
On the house, we cannot have a stressed fig tree. Good morning, ma'am.
We've talked about how much I don't like olive trees and how much I don't like palm trees, but I'll walk a crooked country mile to get to a good fig tree.
Susie, good morning.
Good morning to you. Well, I happen to love figs, so this is a good thing for me. The tree was planted in March, and it was doing very well. But now it looks kind of wilty. It's loaded with fruit. And I'm wondering if I know it's being stressed, but...
Okay. Well, figs have a great big leaf, and they transpire lots of moisture very rapidly because of that big leaf. So they require a pretty good amount of water. So you want to make sure that you've really upped your water as the weather has gotten warmer and windier. We've had a lot of wind this spring. Wind tends to dry plants out more quickly. And, of course, when it's over 105, then we really
all
dry
bets are
things
off.
Out. So I would just suggest you probably need to water longer, deeper, slower, maybe a little more frequently. The other thing that will help all those plants, this is a tease for next week, because next week's tip is about mulching. Apply a layer of 3 inches of bark mulch or shredded bark or compost on the ground around the base of that fig tree. It'll really help it.
I've got a question. If we're encouraging people to thatch their lawn, could the thatch be used as that mulch or not so much?
The only problem you have when you thatch is you actually may be getting some rhizomes up that could then root.
Not good.
And then you might end up with Bermuda grass in your situation. Clippings,
not
when
a
we're
good
just
idea.
Mowing the lawn mm-hmm. and we're just taking pieces of leaf off of the lawn, certainly can be used.
Can I sneak in one more question? I'm so tired of my compost pile on the ground, thinking that may be drawing some ants and stuff. I'm mm-hmm. looking for a canister drum style.
Okay.
But then I have to keep those moist, so they have to be in an area, get sprayed by the sprinkler every once in a while, keep wet. How do you compost?
On the ground.
You do. Boy, man.
And I've had to move it because the gnats and the mm-hmm. it was too close to the French doors that we kept open at certain times of the day. So I've moved it on the far side of the house. But I do it on the ground and turn it and water it and all that stuff. But yeah, there's no great way to do it, I don't think. But it's nice to have it, I think, in a contained deal. So it will stay wetter longer if it's enclosed in one of those canister-type deals.
Let's bring Mark from Fountain Hills into the conversation. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program. How may we help you?
Well, I have a cassalote tree. It's about 10 years old. And this year it's dropping a lot of crystal-type droppings all over. I mean, a lot of quantity of it. I just can't figure out what it is. Do you have any clues?
Yeah, we've got an insect on the cascalotes that's pretty common. And so they're sucking on the leaf of the plant, and the plant is then sloughing the foliage. We've seen this over the years. I saw some just the other day in the nursery. So you probably need to take a sample of that into your local nursery, have them give you your options for probably an insecticide, a spray of some type to get it cleared up.
Let's see if we can sneak Steve into the conversation before we wrap up the garden hour. Has grapevines under attack. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Hello?
Go ahead.
We're listening for your question.
Okay, I have grapevines, and they've been in for about 3 years. They got going real good about this last month. But what's happened, well, I had some kind of infestation. I think it was like a gypsy moth, the little caterpillars were actually eating the leaf away. I treated that with a paprika and soap sud stuff.
Okay.
That seemed to have got rid of the caterpillars. But I also have something. Fiance seems to think it's like a fungus or something, that the leaf basically disappears from the bottom side, that it goes semi-translucent, that it's like half the leaf just is. It doesn't have the bite marks that the caterpillars were leaving. It's just that it goes kind of like see-through.
Yeah, I would say that's still the caterpillars. That's pretty typical of how those skeletonizers strip the tissue down and you leave just kind of a see-through membrane and the main kind of veins of the leaf left, i.e. the name skeleton. You end up with just a skeleton of the leaf left. That sounds to me like you've still got the skeletonizers working there, and that's pretty typical of how the symptoms look when they're done.
Let's recap our tip this week.
watering, checking your watering system, making sure you've got, you know, the proper drippers on the proper place, that they're covering properly, that your lawn sprays are pointed in the right direction, that they're working, your timer is. I always start with the timer. I look at the day. Is it set correctly? Is the date the proper date? Is the time the proper time? Make sure all of that's working right. Then I go through station by station, and sometimes this takes two people. You need a helper. Turn that station one on, make sure it's all running, go to the second one, third, so forth, and so on. And then make sure that your lawn is getting enough water, actually measuring it with tuna cans or rain gauges, whatever you have around the house that can measure the actual output of your sprinkler heads
now,
and drippers.
We don't have a pool. The girls love to turn on the sprinkler set and go run.
Sure.
But I water in the morning. This usually doesn't happen till midday, or it can happen 5, 6, 7 times during the day. Is it possible to overwater Bermuda? I mean, it doesn't look like it's hurting. So.
Pretty hard. Okay. You'd have to literally have standing water there all the time before it really affects.
No, that the heat and the wind.
Especially
take
this
care
time
of, that.
Of year. No, it'd be pretty hard.
Excellent. It's Rosie on the House every Saturday morning. Next Saturday in the garden, we'll be talking. It's mulching.
Mulching. You got it.
All right. Next 2 hours of Day with a Plumber. We actually have Ben Franklin outside the studio. We'll be stepping in at top of the hour news break. If you've got a plumbing question, this is the Saturday for you.